The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does Hebrews 2:10 mean when it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Luke's Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, for a few weeks, we've been in a series where we're exploring the various meanings of the words saved and salvation through five different New Testament books. And we've slowed down our search because there are lots in Hebrews. Now, today we're going to look at Hebrews 2:10. And luckily, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have lots to teach us on this fascinating passage. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are continuing our discussion of salvation in five New Testament books, kind of exploring this idea that salvation doesn't always mean being born again. It doesn't always mean escaping hell or the lake of fire and going to heaven when you die. Salvation can mean several different benefits of salvation that Jesus wants to give to us. And you'd have to look at the context to determine what means what in which book. Right now, we're in Hebrews, and we've been arguing that salvation in Hebrews has to do with this idea that in the new earth, in the millennium, and then carrying on into the new earth, Jesus is going to be ruling, and there are going to be people ruling with him.
Right.
And Hebrews calls those...
The partners.
The partners. And this is different from being just part of the family of God. If you just believe in Jesus for eternal life, you're part of the family of God. This is the question of, are you going to rule with Jesus or not?
Exactly. And we pointed out last time, Matthew 10, 32 and 33 talks about that, and it's picked up in 2 Timothy 2:12. I think we should look at one other reference, because you were asking about where the Lord teaches the same idea, because
Right. That's
what the author of Hebrews says.
So the author of Hebrews says, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And so the question is, where did the Lord talk about salvation in terms of ruling with him?
Okay, another place is Matthew 16, verses 24 to 28. And this follows, by the way, in Matthew 16, Peter's great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus telling them that he's going to the cross and he's going to be killed. Peter then takes him aside and says, Lord, this will never happen to you. Because in Peter's idea, glory was the next step. There was no death of Messiah. They weren't going to die. The kingdom was coming, and they were going to experience glory. Dr. Walvoord, in his commentary on Matthew, says that Matthew 16, 24 to 28 teaches that suffering precedes glory.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a clear section dealing with eternal rewards, although many are confused by this. Notice what he says. Then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, that's a discipleship expression.
Right.
Not coming to him in faith, but coming after him in discipleship. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that self-denial, taking up your cross, and following Christ are not synonyms for believing in him.
Right.
Those are works. And then he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Well, this is another use of the word save, sozo here, that is not referring to salvation from eternal condemnation, but it's saving the life so that you would have fullness of life. And by the way, the Greek word here is psuche. It's the word often translated soul. And it says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then he says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own? Same Greek word. Unfortunately, the New King James translates it soul here. It should be the same translation in all four places.
Okay.
Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The point here is, if you want fullness of life, you must follow the Lord on the path of discipleship. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and
Right. Follow
me.
And he says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works.
Right. Now, we know that everlasting life is not a reward for work done.
Right.
And Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is real clear. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. The point is, everlasting life is a free gift, but ruling with Christ is a reward
Right. For
perseverance. And by the way, what Jesus is saying, and this is pretty obvious in the context, I'm going to the cross, he says, and if you want to rule and reign with me in the life to come, you must take up your own cross, and you too must suffer. Suffering precedes glory.
Just to bring home this idea that this is something that Jesus taught about throughout his ministry, I think about the mother of John and James. She comes to Jesus and she's like, please grant.
They want to sit at his right hand and his left hand, the two seats of honor.
She's saying, please grant that my son. Basically, she's saying, grant that they'll be your partners, that they'll be your metikoi. So even the mothers understood that this was part of Jesus' teaching.
And Jesus doesn't rebuke the mother of James and John or James and John themselves for wanting this position of honor.
Coming back to Hebrews, which is the book that we're in Hebrews 2, and it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? This is the message of ruling with him. This is the salvation of ruling with him in his kingdom.
Right. And I would encourage each of you, just read Hebrews 2, 1 to 4, the first warning passage. If you pray about it and meditate on it, you will clearly see that whatever the author is talking about here requires perseverance. Simply believing in Jesus isn't going to give you this salvation. Right. Of course, we already know it's a future salvation from 1:14. Those of who will, future tense, inherit salvation. Now here we learn in 2:1-4 that this future inheritance of salvation is conditioned upon perseverance. And guess what? The next use of salvation is in the same chapter, in chapter 2 and verse 10.
All right, let's read that. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he's the captain of our salvation.
Right. He's the captain of salvation for all who follow the captain on the path of suffering. Remember when the Lord was in the garden and he cries out and he says, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. I'm sorry, that's not Gethsemane. That's the night before he was betrayed. But that is John chapter 12 and verse 27. And what he's saying is, look, I'm not shrinking back from the cross. I was sent for the cross. Well, if he's the captain of our salvation and he willingly embraced the cross, well, then we too must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Christ. Now, many commentators understand the author in 2:10 to be saying that Jesus is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, for example, writes, he is the Savior who blazed the trail of salvation. As his people's representative and forerunner, he has now entered into the presence of God to secure their entry there, unquote. Notice, he sees the issue as securing their entry.
Okay.
Not as being his partners and co-rulers. But the text says he is the captain of the salvation only of believers who follow him on the path of suffering. Mm. And we're going to see this brought out more in chapter 5 and verse 9, where we're told that he is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's chapter 5, verse 9. This is not a promise for all believers. This is a promise specifically for believers who follow Christ on the path of suffering. Paul Tanner, in his commentary on Hebrews, has an excellent comment here. He says, the word glory recalls Psalm 8 again, mentioned in Hebrews 2:7, and how Christ experienced glory in resurrection and exaltation. To bring many sons to glory looks at God's plan for believers also to share in glory, as Christ himself did after successfully completing his earthly pilgrimage. And Tanner continues, but because of their faith in him, they will eventually receive the glory of resurrection. And if they do not neglect the so great a salvation from chapter 2, 1 to 4, a sharing in the glorious reign and dominion of the Son. The latter privilege is conditional in light of 2, 1 to 4, and see also chapter 4, verses 1 and following. So the point is, chapter 2, verse 10, he's the captain of our salvation if we follow him in perseverance on the road of suffering. Now, look, I know suffering is not a popular teaching in contemporary Christianity, right? What we want is prosperity. We don't want suffering theology. But part of the Christian life is sharing in Christ's sufferings. It's clear in the entire New Testament that is what we're called to do. Now, our suffering is not torment. It's not like we're going through agony day by day. We can be joyful in our suffering.
And also, this isn't asceticism. This isn't.
No.
Some traditions, you see them on TV or see pictures, they're cutting themselves or
right.
causing themselves to suffer. That's not the spirituality that's being discussed here either. It's just being realistic that we live in a fallen world that does not like Jesus.
Right.
It doesn't like us on because of that. But also, we can be jerks sometimes,
right.
you know. But we're going to suffer and have trouble in this
So
world.
There's two types of suffering.
Yeah.
One is self-induced when we're jerks.
And that has no redemptive
right.
value, really.
But if we're suffering for Christ, let's say we're living the Christian life and people are offended by it, or we speak about Christ and they're offended by it,
yeah.
or we suffer persecution, straight-up persecution for our faith— Well, all that is suffering.
Yeah.
Don't you and I suffer? Don't we all suffer because of what's going on in our world today?
Sure. We hate to see sin hurts people. And so we're, on one hand, you're kind of mortified by sin. But the other hand, you don't want people to be hurting each other or hurting themselves with their own sin.
Right. A lot of people simply don't understand the truth. They're living in a way that makes sense to them. But it's a life that is not a life of fulfillment and true joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness, self-control. So Hebrews 2:10 is saying Jesus is our captain who's leading us to be his partners in the life to come. And we got a couple more uses of salvation in Hebrews we'll get in future episodes.
All right. Well, so keep on listening and we will explore those verses together.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to look at Hebrews 5:9, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.